Hello, and welcome to Talkin' Shop with CTEX. Welcome to the show. Today, I am with a very special guest. Mr. Dave Kremen is an owner and director of the Stratton Industries Company, located in Stratford, Connecticut. He is affiliated with both major aircraft businesses and space exploration as part of his business. He is a second generation family business owner. His father started Stratton Industries back in 1961, and so Dave is a second generation owner of the company. It caught my ear, Dave, when I was doing a little bit of research about your wonderful company and all that you do on behalf of our students at CTEX, which we'll get into in a minute. But you have a wonderful saying, which is, I surround myself with really, really good people. I make mistakes and learn along the way. How true is that for all of us? So welcome to Talking Shop with CTEX today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Solik.
So if you could just start out and tell us a little bit about Stratton Industries. We know it was your father's company early on, and that he really was the key focus around manufacturing in the early days. And so when you came on the scene, what happened?
When I came on the scene, it was the early 80s. It was a transitional period for the company. There was foreign competition that was starting to move into Connecticut from Japan. And there was also sort of the onset of new technology. We were starting to get into the PC era, and it was going from manual machining to computerized machining. So it was really a whole new frontier, and it was a great time for me to enter the industry because I was at that sort of college level age, and it was just a really exciting. It was almost like a laboratory for me to work in. I would go to school and then I'd come back and, you know, work in the shop. And so it was just this really great collaboration between real industry and academics for me.
What a wonderful inspiration for our students to hear directly from someone who is still engaged fully in a family-owned company that has exploded, obviously, since the 1980s. So why did you begin working with us at the technical high schools within the work-based learning program? And do you still employ our students now?
Absolutely. We're very active with WBL. And, you know, it's just a great, it's almost like if you were, you know, a major league team and you needed this really great farm team to draw upon and to bring up the next level of talent. That's what is offered with the programs, and you know, particularly Platt Tech, we're very aligned to. Dave Tuttle does a great job for us and for the students there. The students are well prepared, and you'll hear in Connecticut very often that employers will say, "Hey, I just can't find people." Well, the schools have great students, and they're there for, you know, this you know, in a sense, drafting up into the big leagues, and that's what we're going after, and that's why we're active.
We could not be more appreciative that you recognize that in our students. And you mentioned Dave Tuttle, who is certainly a key manufacturing instructor for us at CTEX. And one of the wonderful things that Dave does is he approaches our students and their learning experience as if they are on the job every day. Like, there's no gap between, oh, these students are in a classroom setting and then they'll go on the job site. He treats it very much as if they're from day one, they are on the job. And I think that you just said it so well. At Stratton Industries, that's the student and the worker that really this industry needs so very much. And we're greatly appreciative to Dave for creating that cultural environment for students, because it sets a bar that's even higher than what they would typically have if it were just a generic classroom setting. And you mentioned working with Platt Tech students. Do you work with other students as well from CTEX?
Oh, yeah. We're open to wherever we can find good talent and students that are enthusiastic and resourceful. You know, we'll look wherever we can find them, for sure. And Dave, you know, he gets out into our shop. He goes onto our shop floor. He's very active. He completely closes the loop. He sees former students, and he's a great resource for them as well.
No doubt. So what does the day in the life of a work-based learning student look like at Stratton Industries? For example, are they doing tasks that regular full-time employees do, or is there an adapted schedule and work assignment for them? What does that look like?
So, you know, it starts with have a great shop. We have a really professional, clean, up-to-date environment. That's what they walk into, which is fantastic. This is not the factories that people think of from yesteryear. This is, you know, it's a very highly invested environment. They're coming into an environment where they're working with, we have three levels of skill. It's one, two, and three. It's very basic. But a level three person is a very experienced person that is generally assigned to a student coming in. So they're learning from our best people, and it's just a really dynamic environment where something is happening, something new is happening every day, and they're going to be a part of that. So it's a really hands-on, relatively fast-paced environment, but not too fast-paced. It's enough that, you know, it's interesting, but not overwhelming.
That's such a wonderful first step for them, and I would imagine that as they get more acclimated to the work-based learning environment and to your expectations with the company, they want more and more to stay. That would be my educated guess.
That's what we're going after.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So, Dave, just estimated, on a work-based learning platform, about how many students are you able to really bring on full-time as a result of the WBL program?
You know, every year we probably have between 4 and 6 students that we're putting through the program. So that's a comfortable number for us. Our company, you know, from beginning to end is about 105 people. Right now we're on course for that. So it tucks in nicely. That population is very manageable for us. And we really look forward to the summers when we can get them full time, because then it's really immersed in the learning. They can really continue on. And that's an even more, you know, in-depth learning environment for them, where they can start something and then go on day after day and see it to completion. So I think it's very rewarding for them to see that happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have the privilege of talking with you and other business owners who are now stressing that day-to-day ongoing professional development and training that is so key for employees. Do the work-based learning students participate in some of those professional development activities as well? Or is it kind of too soon for them to jump right in that completely?
Well, you know, once they get on full-time with us, then that really kicks in. We just sort of savor all the time we can get with them while they're still in school. We know that's, you know, it's a smaller part of time, so we get what we can. But once they come in full time, then we start to immerse them into a lot of our different programs. Training is a really robust part of our company for both senior people and new people that are just beginning with us.
Yeah, and if I were a student or a parent of a student, and I was listening to this podcast thinking about the opportunity that my child could have in your business setting under work-based learning program, I'd be jumping at the chance to participate.
Sure, there's no tuition. That's that's a really positive thing. And also, you know, down the road, after they've learned their skills, if they want to go into management, that's a pathway for them. And we provide training and education for that as well. So they can really make a great career for themselves, and they can go as far as they want if they really want to go for it.
The sky's the limit,
that's
it
right.
Sounds like. That's wonderful. So do you find, Dave, that students come to you with skills learned at the tech schools and can contribute to your workforce immediately? I know we talked about participation, but do you feel like they are equipped with some of the basic skills to begin to contribute right off the bat?
Yeah, the trade schools are doing terrific. I'd start with the state of Connecticut. They just really did a great job of pumping in the right investment into the schools. Plat Tech is just a, you know, state-of-the-art environment, which is close to us. Paul Lavoie's done a great job in promoting, you know, this learning environment as well. And so the schools, you know, the product you're getting, this graduate, is really well prepared to begin to learn precision manufacturing in Connecticut. So, you know, it's, I really give the state a lot of credit on that. And everybody throughout the process, Dave Tuttle, et cetera, they're doing a great job.
And so if we can talk for just a second about your work, it seemed, as I looked at your company website, which is wonderful, by the way, I encourage our listeners to go on because it's fascinating, but it really appears that you do some serious work with certainly Aerotech Aerospace and also with NASA. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how decisions are made around what sort of avenue our students pursue in the work-based learning program?
Yeah, we have, you know, we have a lot of really exciting work we've done through the years. You know, we're involved with Lockheed Sikorsky, which is in the same town as we are, and we're very proud of that. We are in semiconductor work, and then, you know, this really fun area that we enjoy is also space, and we're involved with NASA Jet Propulsion Labs. We have hardware that are on both rovers right now, Perseverance and Curiosity. The sample tubes that you might read about that are gathering Martian dust, so to speak, that's going to come back to planet Earth is that's our work in terms of, you know, manufacturing those sample tubes. We're very proud of that. And you know, that's just a typical cross file of what we can, you know, have a student get involved with. And, you know, just very diverse, very interesting work. And that's, you know, very common in Connecticut in terms of Connecticut is a really high-end manufacturing environment. Most people don't really realize that. About the most sophisticated manufacturing that happens in the United States is certainly going to happen somewhere in Connecticut, too.
So not surprising. You mentioned Paul Lavoie, who is such a change agent and a leader across the state in terms of manufacturing, and Paul happens to be on our board. We also benefit from the vision of Kelly Villares, who is right now leading the Office of Workforce Strategy, and she is manufacturing aficionado and cheerleader across the board. So we do have a lot of leadership at our fingertips across the state of Connecticut in manufacturing, and I think it has served, as you said so well, Dave, to really put us in the forefront as a state in terms of the level and the precision of manufacturing, where it's headed. And it's so exciting to see that happening across the whole state, and we're right in the middle of it, which is so great.
It really is, and we're capturing technology as it comes out, and it's just super exciting. I remember many years ago, you know, we would wait for the next technology to come out, and it seemed like it took forever, and then you had to wait for software to be written to that latest technology, and now it's just leapfrogging. It's just super exciting. It's a fantastic time for young people to get involved with manufacturing because it is so dynamic.
Going back to the pragmatic for a minute, what strategies do you find most effective in mentoring our young students and keeping them interested in working for your company?
Well, it starts with the environment. Well, certainly we have found that investing in the company technology-wise is really important. Young people are super interested in that. Mm-hmm. What am I going to work with? What tools do you have? What's the environment like? So we really want a clean professional environment with state-of-the-art equipment. We start there. That's kind of like the canvas to paint on. And then when they come in, it's really getting them on a pathway of saying, here's what you're going to do year one. Here's the threshold we think you're going to reach. We talk about income and benefits and what corresponds with that. And we look further out into what's the pathway, what you can do, what's your potential here. And we also really want to know a lot about them. What do you want to do? What are your dreams?
That is so amazing that at such an early age, they're already feeling like you as a company owner are fully invested in them. I remember the job market in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, and I'm not thinking that it was nearly as much of an investment, both, as you said, the art and the science of really finding out what these students are looking for and what is it about them that would be of greatest value to you. So there's much more of a synergistic relationship now, it seems.
Yeah, and employers are really making a big investment in all employees, really. You really have to. It's almost like an arms race. I mean, you really have to invest and keep investing. You can't just sort of sit back and say, well, I spent that last year. Well, you're going to spend it again this year, too. And even more, perhaps. So it's really a big investment, and you really need to know who you're talking to and what's important to them and what they're thinking about and how they're influenced.
Fascinating. We could do a whole nother program just on
that. That's
a
whole nother segue.
So I think we talked a little bit about this, but what are some of the ways that our work-based learning students, as you reflect back on the number of years now that you've worked with different groups going through, in what ways did they or are they able to contribute to both Stratton Industries and the workforce that they are hopefully going to become a part of in the years to come?
Well, you know, when they first start out, what we're really looking for is enthusiasm. Are they gung-ho? Are they resourceful? You know, that's what we're really looking for. We're looking for what's the raw material you can bring. And it doesn't cost anything to be enthusiastic or to be energetic or on time. Those are all really important things. And, you know, they do it. They bring their game. They bring their A game. And that's where you start. So, you know, the skills they get at Platt, which is great, or the trade school system that we have in Connecticut is super important to us. They come in ready. And that matters because now we have, you know, we have the building blocks where we're going to go next.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned on time. Mm-hmm. And everyone refers to those skill sets as soft skills. Right. To us, they're core skills. Because right. if a student is attending work late chronically, then no matter else what else they can bring in terms of a skill set, it's a tough sell. So we really work hard on our students understanding that sense of responsibility and self-discipline and customer service, as you said, enthusiasm, excitement about being there every day. What am I going to contribute, you know, while I'm there every day is a super important part of what we try to bring to them in their trade classroom setting. So it's refreshing to hear that it's reinforced and being looked at and looked for at Stratton. That's wonderful.
Yeah, as much as we have all this technology around us, the human elements of many, many years ago still matter. It's still important.
Thank goodness, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. So that's great. So, Dave, do you have any specific success stories of a work-based learning student from CTECS who is now turned full-time employee at your company that you would like to share?
You know, we have so many stories of people that have come into our company as apprentices and are now managing our company, which is terrific. And then, you know, going back to the work-based learning program, we have a number of students that are just doing fantastic. They're coming through. They're hitting their, you know, their thresholds on learning. We have one young guy who's actually, you know, gone through the apprenticeship program, and he's becoming a leader in our company. And there's just really great opportunities out there beyond just machining. And I don't want to just say just machining, but there's just a big horizon out there for so many people at our company, and I think at many companies in Connecticut.
I think you hit it earlier that students are interested in the pragmatic piece up front. You know, what am I going to be able, am I going to be able to make enough of an income that I can live in Connecticut, eventually buy a home, have a family, all of that. My educated guess is at Stratton Industries, if they are vested and they're able to stay, as you just highlighted, make that journey from the beginning steps through to management, that must be very much a possibility for them.
Oh yeah, it certainly is, and it's a real pleasure to see somebody come out of a school like Platt Tech or the other trade schools that we have, and to see them, you know, they start to, they get married, they have a family, they start to go out and they buy their first home, they're driving a great looking car, they're taking nice vacations, and you know, they're really participating in the American way.
With work-based learning, Dave, what's the timeline between the time they start in the WBL program with you and the time they have the opportunity to apply for a full-time position? Is it, I know you talked about levels, right? Is each level a year, or
it's really up to them.
Okay.
You know, these skills take time, and so you know, if we get them as a junior, they go through the normal, you know, they're going through the academic year. We'd really like to have them through the summer because they really pick up a lot of steam on learning. Their senior year, sort of same thing. And then right after graduation, that's when they really start to take off. And it's really up to individual progress. And how, you know, how much they're able to place upon themselves in terms of their learning curve. A lot of apprenticeship matters go for 4 years, you know, in like a tool and die setting that's like 8,000 hours. In the CNC setting, it's like 6,000 hours, which is a little bit shorter, about 3 years. So in 2 or 3 years after graduating, they're really hitting their stride. To get to those really upper levels of like a level three, a real senior journeyman type position, it can be, you know, beyond that, certainly more years. But that's pretty much, you know, a lot of it is individually based. The main thing we like to do is provide a lot of training and get out of their way. You know, let them, if they're a quick learner, and we do have some really quick learners that are pretty amazing, we want to make sure that we're giving them every opportunity to be who they can become.
And no doubt you do. In the few short minutes we have, I have to ask you this last question. For other employers considering participation in the WBL program, what insights or advice would you offer to them?
I think it starts with your environment. Make sure that your company is up to speed with what the expectations of a student will be. I would say partner up with a trade school is really great. Get a formal apprenticeship program established in your company by way of help from the state. And I think that's a good starting point. And then from there, you kind of adjust and you learn as you go.
Dave, we can't thank you enough
for
all that you do on behalf of CTECs, our students, and their futures. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Pleasure to be here.